Let me reach back to yesterday for just a moment. The passage that is loosely going to hold my three times with you together is going to be the Proverbs 25 passage. How can we have thoughtful words? Word aptly spoken, it's received like apples of gold in setting of silver. Beautiful and a delight to receive from those who hear them. The words we spoke last night, we're not going to top them because these were the words of Scripture that are given to us to speak to the Lord. So we've gone to the mountaintop. How do we speak to the Lord? Well, some of you who were with me Saturday realize this particular psalm has been good for my soul. This is Psalm 40, just a section of Psalm 40. May all who seek you rejoice. These are really, really good words. Really good words. Just reminiscent of Psalm 10 from last night. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. As for you, Lord, you will never restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. Those are really, really good words, aren't they? And in a passage that I found good for my own soul, as for me, I am poor and needy, but you take thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O God, O my God. Last night we had the apples of gold as we speak to the Lord. Today we're going to look for those apples of gold as we speak to each other. We're going to consider what are words that have been helpful that you found and what are words that have been unhelpful. Track 4, as I understand it, we've been at this for a little while. We've thought about these issues, how do we care, and we've sought to care, which means that in a week like this, there's always a valuable feature to it to consider where have you been and where do you want to go? What has been unhelpful for the people you've cared for? What has been helpful? So part of our humility and growth is we are cataloging those words that we have heard from other people who've said those have been unhelpful words, where people have, we've seen them ourselves. People have spoken them to us. We could tell that it simply wasn't helpful for their soul. What are those words that you're cataloging in your own mind that you don't want to say again? What have been unhelpful words? And then what have been the especially beautiful words? So those are going to be the two categories that we are going to consider together. The unhelpful words and then the helpful ones. Let me give you just a bit of a story where the way we speak is important to our God. A bit of an esoteric story, but it's the peculiar story of Moses hitting the rock. Just see if I can do this for you quickly. Two episodes. The first episode, the context was people were quarreling with Moses, and he was afraid that he was going to be stoned by the people. That's how angry they were. And the Lord says to strike the rock. They wanted water. Strike the rock, and water will come. I'll stand there before you, the Lord says, at the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. And Moses did that. Then there's a second episode that comes later. It's such an important episode. Moses, because of this episode, is not allowed in the promised land. Now, from my perspective, as I go over this passage, I say, what's the deal? He was already told to strike the rock, and this time he was told to speak to it. Well, yeah, he got a little, his brain wasn't working quite right, and he strikes it. Why would that be the thing that keeps him out of the promised land? Perhaps something like this. When the people then, this is what they said. Moses, why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we should die here? You see the difference? The first group, they were an angry group that was ready to riot and to stone Moses. This group identifies themselves as the assembly of the Lord. You anticipate that the Lord is going to wrap his words a little bit differently for an angry, rebellious group and a group that identifies themselves in his name, but has a peculiar feeling they're going to die in the wilderness. So Moses is told to speak to the rock. You see, it's wrapped differently than what Moses does because he's just had enough of the people. He strikes it. Okay. The words we speak and how we speak them. We want to imitate the tone of our God, the wrappings that God gives to us as we speak to other people. Sometimes we can consider that Isaiah 55 passage. Well, God's words, they don't return to him void. So we speak the words of truth, and there is a certain power in them. Well, there's a little bit more we can say than that. The passage is actually saying not that our words are going to be fruitful all the time and be balm to somebody's soul. It's saying that what God says, he will do it. That's what it's saying. His words will indeed come to pass. So what do? We imitate the way he offers those words. We speak them as persuasively as we can, as attractively as we can, so they are received even with thanksgiving. That's the overarching theme that we are considering together. So consider the state of our words. Unhelpful words and helpful ones. I'll give you some things that I suspect we all share. Meanwhile, some of you will be thinking about your own lists. Don't have 10, but see if you can have at least 2 or 3. The words I'm thinking right now, they're not necessarily heretical words or angry words. Obviously, they're unhelpful. I'm thinking about careless words. Careless words that there's a certain foolishness and carelessness where you just didn't give a careful thought to the words you were saying. You didn't search for the words. In a difficult situation, in a relationship, a person you're speaking with, you didn't quite search for those words. Or perhaps the words were simply trite, predictable. One thing about suffering is you can't, there's nothing trite about it. And so to say, well, the Lord is with you. Well, that is true. But are those words spoken as some sort of band-aid for the person you're speaking to? God is good. Of course God is good. Are they spoken? How are they wrapped? Are they just something that's sort of littered on the ground for the person to hear? If you're going to speak them, you better wrap them. And perhaps the way you wrap them is you pray them. For example, here's what we know. We know that even in this situation, God is good. But we also know from the psalmist that his goodness can seem for other people and not for ourselves. So let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray that these words from God would come to your soul. You see what I'm doing? I'm taking something that is unwrapped and ultimately reckless, I think. You see what I'm saying? It's not just heresy we don't want to speak. It's truth that is unadorned. And there are reasons we would apologize for doing such things. What do? We use the same words, but we adorn them differently. How can we offer them to a person in love that is suitable for them? And that's the idea of that Proverbs passage. It just is suitable for them. It's the words of Christ to them at that particular time. Let me give you some that I suspect are probably on most of our lists. We speak too much. We speak too much. Spoke about simplicity last night, and